Back here at rainy Comerica Park, it is the rain delay program, the Blue Jays and the Detroit Tigers. It's raining, tarps on the field, and it's foggy and ugly, and it's not one of the... Oh, there was a little flash. It might have been lightning. It might have been someone... Oh, no, that was lightning. That's for sure. It's stormy weather here in Detroit as the Blue Jays and Tigers hope to get a game in. There are a couple dozen people still sitting in the grandstand or in the main stadium bowl uncovered, but they're all wearing ponchos or umbrellas. Everybody else has taken cover here in Detroit, and we are going to Blue Jays talk it up. It's a rain delay program, and very often we get some of our best phone call action during rain delays. This is the first one of the 2013 season. It is a disappointing start for the Blue Jays. No question, they are 2-5. And let's talk about it at 416-870-0590. *590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We'll have guests popping in and out throughout the course of the rain delay as well. Ben Ennis is here, my co-host on the Blue Jays This Week podcast, which you should be listening to on a regular basis. We did the audio podcast on Monday, and that's up now on iTunes. So you can go check that out. And we will be doing a video podcast as well, just like we did last year. So Ben will be here. Shai Davidi will hang out with us for a little bit. Allison Footer of MLB.com is here. We'll get a chance to talk to her, too, if this rain delay goes on for a little while. You never know who might pop up. But right now, the floor is yours at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's begin with Tim in Toronto, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Tim, you're the leadoff man on the rain delay program. Welcome aboard.
Hey, thanks a lot, Mike. General question, you know, it's 2-5, and we keep hearing it's early. When is it not early? Is it like 10-21 early?
Well, 10-21 kind of sucks. You would hope that was pretty bad. That's still, you know what, here's what I think. I think it starts to get late in June. And I know people want, they want to be given permission to panic as soon as possible. But really, that's the deal. It starts to get late in June. And there, I don't know that there are countless examples of teams that have started poorly and gone on to great success. I was talking to Jack Morris earlier about his Detroit Tigers in 1987. On May 9th, they were 10-18, 10 games out of first place, and they won the division. Look at the Oakland A's last year. The Oakland A's got off to a terrible start last season. They were in last place 9 games out at the end of May, and they wound up winning the division. The Blue Jays example, of course, is 1989, when they were 12-24 to start the season, and they wound up winning the division. It is a marathon, and nobody's kidding when they say that. Teams can overcome poor starts, and like certainly 7 games is nothing.
Well, Tori had a good answer, too, so I mean, I gotta believe. Thanks a lot.
All right, appreciate the call. Yeah, Tori Hunter, when I asked him about the Blue Jays and their struggles, he said it's a stacked ball club. What are we, 7 games in? That is nothing, and it really is. And I know what it's like being a sports fan in Toronto, and I know how often your heart's been ripped out over the last 20 years. And there's this overwhelming sense of waiting for the next shoe to drop, and we've been sold a bill of goods and negativity. But honestly, it's not just us that are telling you that this team is good. This team was picked by the majority of the quote-unquote experts in this country, in the United States, to make the playoffs this year. It's a long season, I promise. I mean, it would be much better if they were 5-2. We'd be having a lot more fun. Adam is in Toronto. Adam, you're on the rain delay program.
Hi there. How you doing?
I'm staying dry, waiting for baseball.
Sounds good. So I want to say that I'm not a Blue Jay fan. I just happen to be a baseball fan who lives in Toronto. So at the beginning of the season, I didn't really buy all the Kool-Aid about all the players coming in. I was not saying they're not an improved team. They're definitely an improved team. But I had two serious questions coming into the season. R.A. Dickey and a knuckleball in a dome. I'm sorry, I don't buy it. His previous stats at Skydome show that he has had a lot of issues pitching there?
No, they don't. They don't.
They don't?
They don't. No, not as a knuckleballer.
Okay, I don't believe.
Yeah, that's the thing with RA. You have to dismiss everything before 2010 because he wasn't a knuckleballer then.
Okay, fair enough. But I'd be worried about a knuckleball in the dome.
You shouldn't be. I'll tell you this, because knuckleballers say they love pitching indoors. Tim Wakefield loved pitching indoors. Everybody says it's much better to be a knuckleballer indoors. So don't let that worry you.
Okay, well, I really hope it goes well. I'd love to see a big party in the city.
Yeah, that'd be swell.
And the other concern I would have would be Encarnacion. He's had one really good year. And to put that much hope on him being the number four hitter in the lineup after one really good year, wow, you're hoping for Jose Bautista Part 2 here. And that's a lot. I mean,
yeah,
for that to happen, one player in your organization, okay. Two players in your organization for that to just lightning strike? Wow, that's huge.
It's not, though. I mean, I understand where you're coming from. I do. And your concerns are more legitimate than, you know, you can't dismiss that. But you have to really look back at Edwin Encarnacion's career to see that, you know, maybe I'll give you the whole four-hitter driving force middle of your lineup. That is a lot to ask of him because he has had one outstanding year. But you look at his first three seasons in the major leagues, first three full seasons in the major leagues, from 2006 to 2008, and he hit .272, he had an OPS of .809, and he had a 162-game average of 23 home runs, which is not a lot, but, I mean, he was 25 at the end of that three-year period. And then he hurt his wrist, and it took him 2 years to recover and get it back. And so the thing, what we're looking at from Edwin is not that sort of out-of-nowhere lightning strike Jose Bautista thing, but it's more of getting back on the path that he was already on when he got hurt. He had 15 homers his first year, then 16, and then 26, and then he hurt the wrist. And so I honestly believe that Edwin was kind of progressing to the point where he was going to be a guy who hit for a solid average, who got on base a lot, and who was good for 30-plus home runs a year. And last year, you know, last year probably winds up being his career year, for sure. But I think he can be a middle-order power bat in the major leagues. And it doesn't have to be lightning striking.
Well, I really hope for the Blue Jays that it happens, because I think it would be interesting, especially with Washington probably going to have a good team this year. Be interesting to see a Toronto-Montreal World Series.
Yeah, how great would that be, huh?
That would be some interesting TV, to say the least.
Indeed. Thank you, Adam. I appreciate it. And I understand that fans have concerns. But, you know, if you just have to remember that there are facts that are part of the equation, more than just your gut feeling. And a lot of those facts tell you this team looks pretty good. Let's go out to Regina, Saskatchewan, listening on CFSL AM 1190 in Weyburn. Chelsea, you're on the Rain Delay program.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
It's going good. How are the prairies treating you?
You know what? We're full of snow over here. It's ridiculous, actually.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
Me too.
But there is a winter. I heard there's a winter storm warning in Toronto too, so you're not alone.
Yeah, we're supposed to get 15 centimeters of it here tomorrow, so
God.
That makes me feel a bit better.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's all right. I was actually just wanting to talk about coaching a little bit, because Gibbons was our coach a couple years back, and he was okay by my standards. I mean, I've been a Jays fan my whole life. Coaching's not something I pay attention to, but when I heard that we were getting him back again this year, I was concerned a little bit because of the altercations and problems he had with the players. And this year, like with our team being so crazy, at least on paper, in terms of status and these players being well-known, clearly they're going to come with egos, right? And so I'm wondering, like, do you think Gibbons has, like, what it takes to manage these players and motivate them without getting in their faces too much?
Yep. I have no doubt about John Gibbons' ability as a manager. I think he is a phenomenal tactician, and he's got a very easygoing, disarming personality. He is impossible not to love. I could not have enough good things to say about John Gibbons.
But there was a lot of other coaches that were in the running.
Managers, by the way. Baseball managers.
Sorry, managers. Yeah, sorry.
We don't know. I mean, the Blue Jays never told us about anyone that they actually interviewed in this process. There were a ton of names out there, that's for sure, but those names came from us more than anybody else, and no names came from Alex Anthopoulos or the Blue Jays or anything like that. So, honestly, I have no idea who else they talked to, who else they wanted, but I think it was just a matter of that light bulb going off over Anthopoulos' head and saying, oh, right, Gibby, he's got everything I'm looking for in a manager. And if you think back to the I don't even want to say they were hints that Alex dropped, but the things that he said he was looking for. He wanted someone who had managed in the major leagues before, someone who had a strong personality, someone who was, I can't even remember all those other things, but when you add up the things that he talked about, someone who, what did he say? He said something about leadership. More than strategy. And by the way, it's starting to rain a lot harder again now here in Detroit, even though the skies are brightening. So that's not great news. So all the things that Alex said he wanted in a manager, he got in John Gibbons. And all the signs pointed to Gibby right away. So I think it was a wonderful hire. And I'm not concerned at all about his ability to run this team.
Yeah, like my only concern would be something happening, like with what happened with Shea Hillebrand and stuff, something like that on the team, and then all of a sudden chemistry is like...
If somebody does what Shea Hillebrand did, then I would hope the same thing happens again. Because that's what you want out of your manager. You don't want that kind of stuff going on in the clubhouse without your manager stepping in and doing something about it.
That's true enough.
Yeah.
For sure. No, I'm just, all right. I was just a little worried, that's all.
Don't. It's okay to be worried. Everybody's worried, but
yeah.
There's no reason to be worried about that.
Well, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, and enjoy the 15 centimeters that you're getting tomorrow. That's horrible. Poor Saskatchewan. This is the rain delay program. We're in Detroit where it is raining right now. The game has not started yet. It was scheduled to start 32 minutes ago, Mark Burley against Rick Porcello. The first thing they told us was that they hope to start it by now. Obviously, that's not happening, and I'm kind of glad it's raining because you hate those times when they'll delay a start of a game for an hour or two and it doesn't rain for that hour or two while they're waiting for it, and then they start and it pours and they have to stop right away. So right now there are no signs of any baseball activity. Rick Dempsey's not here, so nobody's sliding around on the tarp. But it is a lovely white tarp that is covering the entire infield here at Comerica in the rain as we await word on the Blue Jays and Tigers. And we continue to take your phone calls at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Brendan is in Philadelphia listening on sportsnet590.ca. Welcome to the Rain Delay Program.
How's it going, fellas? I hope you're keeping dry out there.
We are. Windows are closed. There's no rain getting us.
Good to hear. So I'm not that worried about this start. You know, it's early in the season. I think the Jays are going to be there come September. One of the reasons they're projected to be there is because of what they brought in. But another reason is that there was a lot of talk about how down the AL East is going to be this year. And frankly, I don't see that happening. I mean, the Boston's having a nice start. The Orioles are right there. Granted, the Yankees are injury-prone right now, but Tampa Bay is there. I don't think that our division's as weak as many have been talking about.
I don't think it's weak, but I think it's down. I do think that the Red Sox aren't going to be as good as they've been, not counting last year. The Yankees aren't going to be as good as they've been. The Tampa Bay Rays aren't going to be as good as they've been. And the Baltimore Orioles are certainly not going to be as good as they were last year. But just like you said, it's early for the Blue Jays to be 2-5 and to really consider that as you know, telling us what's going to happen this year. It's also too early for all those other teams as well.
Yeah, granted, understood. But I think that the young talents there, not only on our squad, but on some of these other squads, and usually the team that comes out of the AL East is one of the stronger in the playoffs. And you know, I think that's us this year.
Well, I think so too. You know, I'm not big on the prediction game, but the Blue Jays certainly look like they have a team that will, that should be in the postseason, and it should be a very, very strong team, and that comes from the starting pitching first and foremost, because you know, it's the deepest rotation that there is in the game. I mean, the Tigers, I guess, have something to say about that, but I'll take Jay Happ over Rick Porcello any day of the week if you're looking at fifth starters, and the rest of them match up pretty solidly one to the other. So I agree with you, but again, I do think that the American League East is not going to be the powerhouse division top to bottom as it's been over the years. Thanks for the call, Brandon.
Oh, thank you.
What? Got more? All right, thank you. Aaron in Brantford. Aaron's on the rain delay program.
I am, and it's kind of sad. I was looking forward to baseball in the afternoon during work, but I guess actually before I get to my point, will it be a doubleheader or will it be a makeup game sometime later?
Well, we're in a rain delay, not a rain out, so they still expect to play this game today.
Okay, great. That's all I want to hear. So I have two, I guess, separate questions. One, my main question being, if, you know, we're obviously playing without Brett Lurie and Mike Cerestoris, you know, I mean, he's a good defender, but I think he's, I wouldn't say exposed, but he's made
he's not played well at third base at all.
Sure. Let's go with that. Is Brett Lurie the one piece that, you know, will that add the big enough boost that we need, or the energy? I can certainly see in the clubhouse helping out, but will that be a piece that we can certainly rely on to give us a little bit of a spark in the lineup? And, what's your opinion on that, first of all?
Well, I think he's very sparky, that's for sure. I mean, Brett Lurie is a guy who is just a bundle of energy all the time. So, yeah, his presence here will add a spark, no question about it. But more importantly, he is one of the best defensive third basemen in the game. He has fantastic range, and that's going to help more than anything else. There are probably five or six plays at third base through the first seven games of the season, and that's a lot. Five or six plays at third base that were not made by Meister Asturias and Mark DeRosa that Brett Lurie would have made, because Brett Lurie is just that good. And I think that's the biggest difference. That's the biggest impact that his return is going to have.
And then when he gets back, I'd imagine him in the lower middle part of the lineup. So that would be great from a batting standpoint. But if we were to talk about just shift focus just on R.A. Dickey and even the advanced pitching metrics, I don't think we can apply them as well to him just because of the fact that he throws the knuckleball. So I mean, when we talk about R.A. Dickey, I think we should be talking from almost a scientific or a physics point of view on the way the ball flies. And that, you know, it's unpredictable nature is really how we should be looking at it. Now, do you have a sense of how many balls that he throws are actually thrown within the strike zone versus how many aren't thrown in the strike zone? I guess, would that be an indicator of maybe some players, I guess some teams in the AL East, like we saw with Boston, they were really patient with the knuckleball against him, and they didn't really take some of those early hacks, and Cleveland did the same thing as well. So
I don't know that you want that's an interesting thought, but I don't know if that tells us anything, because you kind of want hitters to think they're going to be in the strike zone and then have the ball not actually wind up in the strike zone, or get that, you know, floating around so it doesn't get barreled up and it gets weak contact and you get pop-ups and easy ground ball outs and stuff. So I don't really know that it matters how many wind up in the strike zone.
Well, the two teams we played, and I want to frame this, and this is how I thought about it. R.A. Dickey pitched against the Cleveland Indians, managed by, you know, lo and behold, Terry Francona, who managed a knuckleball pitcher on his end, and then John Farrell's Red Sox, who, again, Tim Wakefield. You know, maybe there were some learnings there that they could apply to their lineups that, you know, and R.A. Dickey, you know, it's still early. You know, apparently I read an article on Sportsnet about a fingernail. So that in and of itself, I'm looking forward to this. And I'm really hoping we get this game in because I would love something to distract me from work right now. Thanks, Mike, for everything.
All right. I'm hoping we get this game in, too, so that all of you can be distracted. This is the next best thing to baseball on the radio, and that is the rain delay program and doing the Blue Jays talk. As far as R.A. Dickey goes, I honestly think that no matter how much you prepare, if the knuckleball is working really, really well, no one's going to hit it. No one's going to hit it well. And guys are going to get lit up every once in a while, and R.A. Dickey has gotten lit up every once in a while, and you know, take some solace in the fact that he had exactly the same start last April as he had this past Sunday when the Cleveland Indians beat him, and he still wound up winning the Cy Young Award. I know that Blue Jay fans haven't really seen him pitch, but he was the best pitcher in the National League last year, and he's going to be just fine. We're going to take a few more of your phone calls. It is the rain delay program. It is still raining here in Detroit. Tarp is still on the field. We have heard no word from the Tigers. What we do know is that the weather is expected to be worse tomorrow, and this is the Blue Jays' first and only trip into Detroit this season. So it's going to be really hard to make these games up. These two teams only have two mutual off days over the course of the entire year. I believe they're August 29th and September 5th. And the last thing in the world you want to do is play a doubleheader on an off day. So they really, really, really want to get this game in. And we're here until either they say they're not going to or until they start it up. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Allison Footer of MLB.com is going to join us at the top of the hour and talk about the Gibbies. Believe it or not, MLB.com gives out postseason awards every year, and they're called the Gibbies. How awesome is that? Howard in Toronto, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hello, Howard.
Hi, Mike. Everything's good, thank you. I just want to call, and I have basically three shout-outs. It was two, but I got three shout-outs and one complaint. The first shout-out, as a first-time listener, I want to shout-out to you, Mike, for the great job that you've been doing. I've enjoyed years and years of your commentating on the radio, and I want to say props to you for that. You've done a great job, my friend.
Thank you.
Cool. And as a true fan, I want to say that my appreciation really goes out to the Blue Jay players for, first of all, wearing that logo on their chest saying that we represent Toronto. And as a true fan, I would never, because I grew up in the 70s, and the first job I had, Mike, working in the city was working for the Blue Jays organization back in the 70s when they first came out. So I really have a lot to be thankful for. So at the same time, as a true fan back in those days, Mike, you would never hear one of the players or the team get booed after a poor game. They've always been, like, praised and given a lot of shout-outs for the great work and effort that they put behind the job that they do so well. So to RJ, to Mr. Dickey, and to all the other players of the Blue Jay staff, I want to personally, as a true fan, thank them for the hours that they've spent and years in bringing us this kind of talent and entertainment on the field day in and day out, Mike. And the next shout-out that I have is to the Blue Jays organization for Alex Antopoulos and all the Blue Jays staff for listening to our complaints for many, many years that we've not had a team that has brought us to a playoff game in the end of the year. And I just want to say thank them for bringing in these players onto our team to give us hopes for a better tomorrow and a better future with the Blue Jays and hopefully many, many playoff games to come, Mike.
All right, I love it. I appreciate the thoughts, appreciate the positivity. Yes. It's great. What did you do for the Blue Jays in the late 70s?
You know, I'd say indirectly I was working for Versa Foods as a vendor selling hot dogs and popcorns and all that, Mike. But so indirectly I was working for them, but through the corporation, the food organization that they pretty much owned. So I was a vendor back in the 70s, and that was the first job I had when I came to Canada. And it's made me a very good salesman from then till now, Mike.
That's awesome. Thank you, Howard. I appreciate the call.
You're so welcome.
I may well have bought a hot dog or two from you.
No doubt.
They sold footlongs back at the X. That was fantastic.
They sure did.
They were disgusting but awesome. Thanks,
right,
Howard.
Thank you, Mike. You're welcome.
Appreciate
sir.
It. Thank you very much. Let's move on to Andrew in Toronto, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, Andrew.
How are you?
Good. Were you a hot dog vendor at the X, too?
I sold peanuts, licorice outside the dome. So
no way. That's awesome.
97 to 99. Those were good times. That last caller, I got to say, it was like Anthony Robbins' death. You know, very positive. just a quick thought. Any way that we can get Lind out of the lineup by bringing up Ghost and moving Milky to DH?
Why would you want Adam Lind out of the lineup?
He's lost.
No, he's not. Come on.
You saw that.
Give me something better than that.
I see them pitching around Edwin just to get to Lind.
Adam Lind is not lost. Adam Lind yesterday had a pinch hit double down the right field line. Adam Lind has struck out once this year. Adam Lind has hit probably five or six balls right on the screws that have turned into outs. When guys are lost is a wholly overused term. But
okay,
when guys are lost at the plate.
Did you see him hit 20 home runs this year?
Pardon me?
Did you see him hit 20 home runs this year?
I think he should absolutely be able to hit 20 home runs.
I don't see it. I think.
But you think he's lost, too?
I think he's. Well, yeah. I just don't think he's got the upside that Ghost has. The guy's ripping it up and got, what, 8 hits already this year in 4 games?
Got I haven't looked at the minor league stats.
He's ripping it up.
Okay.
He's ripping it up. Anyway, it's just a thought.
I know that Anthony Ghost is a very exciting player, believe me, a very exciting player. He's still very much a work in progress, and I'm not sure why people want to not let him finish that progress down in the minor leagues. He's got 7 hits in 6 games. He's hitting .292. With a 787 OPS. What I love is that he struck out 3 times in 24 at-bats. That's fantastic.
Not bad.
That's what we're looking for from Anthony Ghost. Because
for
the strikeouts are the huge
before,
issue.
For all time sakes, before I go, I'll give you a ballpark peanut. Just give me a sec here. Ballpark peanut.
Thank you very much.
Inside.
Nicely done. All right, ballpark peanuts. Thank you, Andrew. We appreciate the call, but, I mean, people... you have to get over this fact that you're inclined to look at Adam Lind and say he's terrible, because you cannot have watched Adam Lind through the first 7 games of this season and say he's lost. You just can't. Again, he's not striking out. He's not rolling over and hitting those weak ground balls to the right side of the infield. Those things are not happening. He's driving the ball, and he's just getting out. There's a huge difference. The Blue Jays, Tigers, not set to go yet. It looks like the rain has let up significantly. And it may not even be raining at all right now. The tarp is still on the field here at Comerica Park, and we have received no word from the Tigers as to a potential start time. But again, we will keep you posted. We'll take one more phone call and then a quick break, and Allison Footer of MLB.com will join us. Mitch is in Toronto. Hello, Mitch.
Hey, Mike. I just wanted to comment on the ridiculousness of, like, the level of hysteria and paranoia that we're seeing right now with the start. I mean, I think it's really a product of simply the Blue Jays being in Toronto. Like, as fans, I don't think there's anywhere that we're as hard on our players, you know, across all sports, than anywhere else. And I think the Blue Jays are feeling that now. And we can't be casting the Blue Jays and hold them accountable for the sins of the Raptors, the Leafs, that we've seen in the last 20 years, because, you know, this Blue Jays team is definitely talented and has definitely a lot of potential. So, you know, we got to support them, and we can't be, you know, casting all that negativity down. And that caller a few calls ago, we need more people like that, really. Like, it's getting ridiculous, and it's just frustrating, you know?
Yeah, I believe me, I know. I agree with you. People are entitled to their frustration and upsetness, and I certainly don't mind I have no issue with anyone who's disappointed by this start.
But I
believe that there's a huge difference between disappointment and it's over and they were never any good and I don't know why I bought into it and all of that stuff. And I think we're getting a little too much of that for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And I just want to say you're doing a great job talking them off the ledge and keeping the positivity going. So, you know, it's going to be a good year and it's going to be an exciting year no matter what happens. So let's just get it going and they'll turn around.
Thank you very much. Hopefully by the middle of July, everyone will have forgotten about this. And let's hope that by the end of July, this will be a non-issue and the Blue Jays will be off to a good year and everything will be just lovely. Thank you for the call. We will continue to take your calls all the way through until this one is called or until this one gets started. It is the rain delay program. Some news. The Blue Jays have just claimed Casper Wells on waivers. It appears as though the Blue Jays are making a waiver claim a day. He had been designated for assignment. He is an outfielder. He is a power hitter. Not the best defender out there, but a decent throwing arm. And we'll find out if the Blue Jays are going to have him here or if they're going to try to pass him through waivers again and see if they can keep him. But this may be an indication that it might be time to say goodbye to the eight-man bullpen and have Casper Wells here to help the team out. Former Seattle Mariner who lost his job to Jason Bay this spring. Phone lines are open at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We will take more of your calls. But Allison Footer of MLB.com is coming up next to discuss with us the Gibbies. That's the rain delay program on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network. We're back in rainy Detroit. It is the rain delay program. The Blue Jays and the Tigers hoping to get a game in today. The park lights are on. The tarp is on the field. It does not appear to be raining at all right now. And we're waiting. According to Tom Young, who is our on-site engineer and producer and the best in the business, bar none, there is another storm front that is going to come through sometime soon, and that means that it's going to be a while. Tom Young believes we may be able to start this game at 3 o'clock Eastern time, which is 1 hour from now, and we are taking your phone calls here on the rain delay program at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. But before we take more of your phone calls, we are thrilled to be joined by Allison Footer of MLB.com, to whom I will be eternally grateful for 10 years ago giving me directions on how to get out of Osceola County Stadium in Kissimmee. So thank you for that.
I take that like as a personal favor and almost a duty, because when people have to come to Kissimmee, Florida, I feel kind of bad. I feel responsible. And so I try to help them get out as quickly and efficiently as possible. So I'm glad that I could help you.
I understand that. Jordan Bastian, who used to be your colleague still your colleague at MLB.com, used to be on the Blue Jays beat, now he's doing the Indians. He and I drove to an Astros game, and we were together. So one of us, I think it was me, counted on Highway 192 how many fast food joints, cheap motels,
T-shirt shops,
yeah, and giant oranges were there. And it was upwards of 200 just in that 12-mile trip.
Right, and see, you have to be a veteran because you can't go on 192.
No,
so the Astros people, we'd have a competition almost to see who could spend the least amount of mileage actually on 192 and still get to the ballpark.
It's a horrifying, horrifying street.
It's all about Osceola Parkway.
Yeah.
Which is how I sent
you. I'm sure people are loving this story.
Rain delays.
Yeah. I got off I-4 early, and I can't remember what I went on. I want to say Bill Brown or something.
Bill Beck Boulevard?
Bill Beck Boulevard.
or Boggy Creek. There's four Boggy Creeks. You literally take four Boggy Creeks to get to the airport. You turn left and then right on Boggy Creek, right on Boggy Creek, and you end up at the airport.
And there's some orange blossom trail or something,
yes,
too.
Yes, you have a
see?
Wonderful memory.
Yeah, dig me. That's the concern now. Alan Ashby's got to deal with that now, and hopefully he's having a good time down there. So I want to talk to you about the Gibbies,
right,
which is awesome because Gibby is our manager, John Gibbons,
right,
here with the Blue Jays.
But yes,
you guys named these awards before. Greatness in Baseball Yearly, is that the deal?
Yeah, Greatness in Baseball Yearly Awards.
That's
so
really cool.
You take the A off because it'd be like Gibby Yaz, and that sounds weird.
Yeah, that does sound very strange.
Yeah.
And I've gotten a chance to be one of the media voters the last few years. And what's really cool about it is I don't know if you're going to like this comparison, but it's kind of like the Teen Choice Awards in that the categories are different and, you know, a little offbeat, which is great.
I didn't know that the Teen Choice Awards were like that.
Like
I don't think I've ever seen those. Best
hair,
best
children.
Scarves. Yes, there you go.
Yeah,
so it is. It's kind of like our thing, and it gets the fans involved in the voting, which is important, and it also has, you know, the media involved, and then a panel of experts, and it's the some of the best awards are the ones where your peers and the fans are actually voting for you, and it's kind of cool that way.
Yeah, I think the players really appreciate that stuff too. So, and you're out on like a award presentation tour. Is that the
I am. I'm like the Vanna White of the Gibbies. So I'm just going around in ballparks and presenting the players with these awards. So it's nice. They want to have a representative from the company that's there and make it, you know, very special and do it on the field in front of the fans. I'll be in San Diego in a few days and Anaheim, but my first stop was here, and it's been good so far.
With Allison Footer of MLB.com. So you made the presentation earlier, like last week, or is it happening?
No, it's happening if the rain ever stops. And
out
on
the field?
Right, out on the field. We're going to have a little photo op and give him his awards, and I think he's getting today's like big Miguel Cabrera today. The Players Association is presenting him an award that actually Justin Verlander is going to be giving Miguel.
I'm
going to be off to the side.
I don't know. Justin Verlander? Perfect.
Right. So
what did he win? Which Gibbies did he win? I'm assuming he won more than one because he's Miguel Cabrera.
I happen to have it right on my screen. Yes, he won two, the MVP and the Hitter of the Year.
Right.
So that's what happens when you win the Triple Crown and the MVP. You pretty much just sweep the offensive categories.
I remember a huge debate, though, in the offseason, the whole Mike Trout, Miguel Cabrera debate. So the fans say it was Cabrera.
Well, I think it's a combination of everybody. I mean, I don't know how the voting broke down, but with everyone, well, I don't know. You voted.
I think I did. You know what? And I'm one of the, I'm more new school than old school, but I still think the Triple Crown is really something special.
It is. I know there was that whole debate, and that's what people like to do. They like to argue about these things, and it keeps the columnists occupied and happy, keeps the fans mad and happy, you know, because they're happy
when
they're mad.
When they're mad.
And so I think it's great for the game, because if you have two guys that are legitimately deserving of these kinds of awards, then you know that your game is probably in pretty good hands.
She's Allison Footer of MLB.com, here to award the Gibbies Greatness in Baseball Yearly Awards to Miguel Cabrera. Now, we talked a lot about Kissimmee and Osceola County Stadium, because you used to cover the Astros. You were on that beat all the time. How do you feel about them being in the American League now?
I don't think anybody in Houston was really in favor of it, because they like the National League. That Houston's always been a National League team. I was just not in favor of it beyond just the National League reasons, but also because they're at a really bad time in their performance-wise
now,
probably the worst time. And so to move to the American League, especially in the division that they moved to, was going to be a huge challenge. And I just have a very bad feeling about what could happen this year because of the product that's on the field, combined with how hard these teams are that they have to play 19 times a year. And I think it could get pretty ugly.
16 runs last night, though.
They had a big breakout, and I was laughing because there was some controversy where JD Martinez got pulled the night before for going against what they had discussed in their hitters meeting. I have a feeling what it was stop swinging at these stupid first pitches that they're not throwing down the middle of the plate, and they're all popping out to second base and striking out at an alarming rate, as I'm sure you've seen, like a historical rate. So there was this, you know, little dust up, I guess, that JD got pulled out of the game, and he knew exactly why, and things were getting kind of tense, and they said, we just need one big breakout game.
And they got it.
They scored 16 runs. They gave up 9.
Yeah, but they scored 16. And they scored more runs in that one game than they'd scored in the first 62 innings of the season.
Absolutely, right. And, wow. I mean, they were on pace to I mean, after their first opening series, of course, everything's about being on pace. And they struck out. They would have shattered the all-time record for a single season for a team striking out by like 800 if they had kept on that pace. They were averaging like 12 strikeouts a game. They actually still are around there. I think they're still in double digits. So there are issues, you know, and it's not to the fault of the players. I mean, they really are all playing up to their ability and they're working very hard and they had a very good spring training, but what they're up against is quite a challenge.
I found it really interesting. I mean, you talk about the down part of their the whole franchise. Like, this is the lowest level that maybe any team's been at once it's all said and done. But I found it really interesting watching them in the spring that they seem to try to collect as many, I don't want to use the word failed, post-hype prospects, guys who 4 or 5 years ago, everyone was really talking about. They had 24 of them.
Yes.
Hoping to find, I guess, one or two.
Right. High draft picks from 5, 6, 7 years ago. A lot of waiver claims, a lot of minor league free agents. That's where they are. I mean, they don't have any intentions of spending any money this year, and I'm not so sure they needed to take it down to $20 million to really rebuild in earnest. I think you could have done it and kept a few of the major league players around. That's how they've chosen to go about it. The long-term plan is very good. I do believe that it will work if they stick to it and they increase the payroll, that they try to keep their guys as they enter arbitration eligibility and all that. But as long as they stick to the plan, then it's a good one. It's just unfortunate because I don't think that there's ever a time to just completely strip the roster of guys who can sustain, you know, major league at bats 4 times a day. It looks really easy. Yeah. I tell people all the time, these players make this game look very easy. It is very hard to do, and not everybody can do it. And I feel for the players. I think they've been put in an unfortunate situation, and the bullpen is going to struggle mightily, and that can wear on the starting pitcher. I mean, there's all kinds of effects that this could have. That being said, in 5 years, I don't know that any of these players are going to be kind of in that long-term plan.
I hope maybe Chris Carter and Jose Altuve and a couple of others.
Yeah, maybe Jason Castro, and that would probably be about it.
As far as the Blue Jays are concerned, Saturday, they designated Jeremy Jeffress for assignment. There is no chance he gets past the Astros on waivers the way they're doing things, we're thinking.
Right. Well, what's he making this year?
Nothing.
Okay.
And he throws 100 miles an hour, and he was a first-round draft pick.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these, you hear a couple of players that have gotten designated for assignment, and yeah, I mean, if the Astros are intent to try to win some games this year and get some major league caliber performances on the field that can sustain an entire season, then they absolutely, it's very unlikely that a lot of these players will make it past Houston.
Yeah. All right, Allison, thank you so much. Appreciate it on our rain delay program. You have brought a little sunshine in, and we hope that you get to go down and present the Gibbies to Cabrera today.
It'd be unfortunate to have come all this way to not present the award.
Yeah, and then to have to go to San Diego. It's terrible.
I know.
That's Allison Footer of MLB.com. We will take more of your phone calls. The tarp is still on the field. It's not raining right now. And we're hoping that the Blue Jays and Tigers can get the game in. So 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Your calls are next. We continue with a rain delay program on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network. Back here at Comerica Park, it's the rain delay program. I'm Mike Wilner. And we're taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590, *590, and long distance 1-888-666-0590. Just had a visit from Allison Footer of MLB.com, who, if this game gets started, will present Miguel Cabrera with his Gibby before the game. And it is not named after John Gibbons. It's the Greatness in Baseball Yearly Awards. And you can vote for them on MLB.com, too, at the end of every season. Right now, though, back to your phone calls, and there's someone in a Blue Jays jersey out there. It has number 21, which is Sergio Santos' number this year. It says Lumpy on the back. So Lumpy is out there getting ready to enjoy Blue Jays baseball. It is raining again. Not terribly hard, but there is a steady light rain. down on the field, and according to meteorologists Jack Morris and Tom Young, there is another front coming through. They are hoping to start this game around 3 o'clock, which is 45 minutes from now, 3 o'clock Eastern time, and we are hoping along with them. And according to the scoreboard says, we are currently monitoring the weather in the area. Thank you. One would expect that that is the least that they could do. But the Detroit Tigers are currently monitoring the weather in the area. When an update happens, we will be the first ones to let you, or you'll be the first ones we talk to and tell you. And we are hoping for baseball this afternoon. Again, there is a light, very light rain falling right now, and the tarp is on the field. We are in hour two of the rain delay. This game was supposed to start 68 minutes ago. The Blue Jays are 2-5. They've got Mark Burley scheduled to start today against Tigers righty Rick Porcello. We go to Jerry in Sarnia, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Man, that's some serious range for the station. Jerry, welcome to the Rain Delay program.
Hey. Hi, Mike. How are you?
Big fan of the show. Thank you.
Good. Well, I'm only an hour away, but it's raining here very light, too, so I hope you get the game in today.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. Just a thought. I heard you earlier saying that it was early in the season. I understand that, but they're 2-5, and they got a couple good tough clubs are going to play now, and I'm a big reader of The Sun, and the first 5 or 6 days there leading up to opening day, you know, every single one on the front page there was World Series, going to win the division, this and that. I thought it was an awful lot of bit pressure to be putting on those boys. Hopefully they don't read a lot of that.
Well, they're big boys. They can handle it.
Yeah, but
I'm just expect that from themselves.
I'm hoping that it turns around soon. I know they're 2-5. You don't want to be going 2-8, 2-9, and then you're 7 games to catch up to 500. You'd be playing for the next month or two to catch that up. So,
but that's okay. It really is because you've still got 5.5 months. Yeah, obviously you don't want them to lose the next 4 games for sure. Nobody wants them to be 2-8, 2-9. But if they are, it's not the end of the world.
It's not. And the only thing is the Jays are actually my second team. I'm a huge Jays fan, but I'm a Tiger fan, and my boys are Jays fans listening right now. And I just want to shout out to Colby.
I like your boys better than you, then.
I know you do. My shout-out is to Colby, though, my man, because he's having an awesome year, and I picked him to have the awesome year. Now, if everybody gets on board with him, they're going to be right just fine.
Okay. I think our definitions of awesome year are a little bit different. He's hitting 190 right now, but he has become serious Mr. Three True Outcomes. Everything is either a home run, a walk, or a strikeout from Colby Rasmus, and I'm loving that. And hopefully it gets to the point where he can get the batting average up a little more, get the on-base percentage, maintain it at 350 or higher, and hit 30 home runs or so, which he was on pace to do before he got hurt last year. So, I'm a big fan of the potential of Colby Rasmus, certainly,
and hope
that it all comes out. Thanks, Jerry.
Excellent. Oh. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Appreciate it. From down over there in Sarnia, up a little bit north of us. It has started to rain again now. We'll call this a steady rain here in Detroit. It's cold. It's 7 degrees Celsius. It is not a fun day. But again, they are hoping that we can get this baseball game in. And our amateur meteorologists here feel as though 3 o'clock Eastern time is going to be about the right time for the weather to clear out and for them to have a window to have a game. Dan in Guelph, listening on our flagship, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
Okay, so I just wanted to expand a bit on what the caller before the hour was talking about as far as managers go. And I know her concern was with, you know, manager and player conflict. I know it's going to happen in every sport. People aren't going to get along and such. I'm not so concerned about that. What I was concerned about in general is just the hiring of John Gibbons. I honestly don't have that much confidence in him. Before, when he managed the team, I don't think he managed the running of the base pass that well. I understand he didn't have that much speed, but he's got a lot of it now.
Yes,
so
he does.
I'm hoping he can, you get better with that, as well as the pitch.
Well, wait, let me ask you a question before you get to the next point. And the rain has now doubled back and gotten a lot heavier than it was even 2 minutes ago.
Okay.
What makes you draw that conclusion from the fact that John Gibbons didn't have his players steal a lot of bases when he didn't have any speed? What makes you go to the thus and therefore, now that he does, he will continue not wanting to steal a lot of bases?
Well, it's not that he won't. I'm just concerned that he's not used to this kind of speed, and my lack of confidence in him, I don't think he'll be able to manage his players.
Such confidence in him?
Well, I might be wrong on this, but didn't the Jays fire him?
Uh-huh. So, has there ever been a manager who hasn't gotten fired?
No, I understand, but then...
Do you have confidence in Terry Francona as a manager? Or Joe Torre?
How often do they get rehired by the same team, though?
Yeah, they don't get rehired by the same team very often. Cito Gaston did.
So isn't that a red flag, though?
No. Why?
I don't know.
Two guys on this team that were here when he was here the first time.
Okay. And my other point then would be is, and I really do believe he mismanaged the pitching when he was here before.
You're going to have to give me some serious examples of that, because John Gibbons is one of the best managers of pitching staffs that I've ever seen.
All right, well, maybe it's just a gut hunch that I have, and the red flag that I'm seeing from, you know, I understand managers have been fired and what have you. But also, wasn't there a sense of relief once John Gibbons left at the end of his tenure?
And only from people who didn't like him because they had made their minds up about the Shea Hillenbrand and Ted Lilly stuff, and from people who love Cito Gaston so much.
Well, I understand people get their minds in a knot because of too little confrontation, but I don't have any stats or anything to back up. I guess it's just a gut feeling. But if things continue the way they're going, I'm personally going to be blaming it either on AA for hiring John Gibbons or for just my lack of confidence in him myself.
Okay, but Dan, you've made up your mind, and unfortunately, your mind has been made up by stuff that you've made up. I'm not saying intentionally or anything like that, but all these reasons you have for not liking John Gibbons aren't real reasons. But you've made your decisions based on those reasons that aren't based in fact. So I don't know that anything that happens will be able to convince you to give the guy a chance.
Well, I guess if we come out of this season with a winning record, I'll gain some more respect for him. But until then, maybe I'll do some research, come back with some numbers, and I'll give you a call back once I figure this out.
That would be a fantastic idea, and I would appreciate that. Thank you for the call.
Mike.
All right. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion, without question. Nobody's entitled to their own facts. And when your opinions are based on things that aren't true, then you got to really take a look at the validity of those opinions. It's raining in Detroit. It was raining a lot harder about a minute and a half ago, and I'm not going to give you an update every 90 seconds on how much it's raining or if it's raining or whether it's raining, but this is just a crummy, crummy day here in Detroit, and we are hoping that at some point the rain moves out and we're going to have baseball. Again, this game has not been called. It's in a rain delay. We are an hour and 16 minutes into this rain delay. Tom Young is showing me the meteorology, and it appears to be moving through. And we'll clear out of Detroit relatively soon, but the question is what's behind it. And Tom says there's a pretty big gap. So it looks like they are they're watching those weather radars as well, and we're going to get baseball in later on this afternoon, hopefully not too much later on this afternoon, and this game could start in the next half hour, 45 minutes or so. We are going to Gregor Chisholm just tweeting out from MLB.com that according to Blue Jays PR, the game could start at 3:30. So we're very happy about that. 3:30 Eastern time would be 1 hour and 5 minutes from now. We are going to take more of your phone calls. And Ben Ennis, my co-host on the Blue Jays this week, is going to join us at 2:45 Eastern Time. And we'll have some fun with that, too. But right now, more of your calls, 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Before we get to the next call, let me just answer a tweet here from @Ralphie9. What makes your opinion Gibbons is a great manager of pitchers different than caller's opinion he's not? Both have no facts. Well, no. That's not true. I mean, just because I'm not presenting 1,000 different scenarios of how well John Gibbons handled his pitching staff over the course of the 600-plus games he was here the first time around doesn't mean that it's not a fact. The fact is that John Gibbons was terrific at using his pitchers in appropriate situations, putting guys in where they're most likely to succeed, and not being so incredibly bound by convention that he has to use this guy in the seventh, this guy in the eighth, this guy in the ninth, and that's how it works. John Gibbons is a guy who will use his best relievers in tie games late where other managers will hold on to their closers. John, basically, I mean, he doesn't get guys up in the bullpen a whole bunch and not bring them into games. That's the one thing that the people really spoke about in glowing terms about him, the way his relievers really appreciated that early in his career. There was another flash of lightning, so we're, as Bob Seger said, since we're in Detroit, waiting on the thunder, because it was awfully loud last time around. But the way John Gibbons has handled the pitching staff and handled the bullpen has been, and there's the rumble of the thunder, has just been fantastic. So I you don't want me to quote you scripture and verse because it would just take too long. But I go back and find tons of games in which it was like, oh, you know what? That was the right thing to do. And John Gibbons did the right thing far more often than, oh, look, there's Bob Seger right there on the scoreboard. How about that? They must have knew. John is in Whippy. John, you're on the rain delay program. Welcome aboard.
Hello. How are you, sir?
I continue to be dry, which makes me a darn sight better than most of the people here.
Mr. Gibbons is a good manager.
Thank you. I'm sure he'll be bolstered by your opinion.
Well, I think he is. And at my age, I have seen a lot of managers from Casey Stengel up.
Nice.
All I'm scared of is with the rotten start.
Uh-huh.
And Boston's got off to a decent start.
Yeah.
The Yankees are 4-4, and they're going to get people coming back to Shira, Jeter, Granderson.
Yep.
It isn't going to be easy.
Nobody said it was going to be easy.
Because these guys they're great ball players, and a lot of them, it might be their last year, so they're going to give it all they got.
Granderson,
Jeter, and it's already Rivera's last year, so.
Yeah, this is probably going to be Pettit's last year, but I would say he's the only one. I don't think Curtis Granderson is a threat to retire, and I doubt Derek Jeter will too, because if he plays two more years, he'll set the record for most seasons played as a Yankee. So he's got that in his sights.
But they're going to push, and they're going to push hard.
Yeah, but they're not going to be very good. That's the thing. But it's not going to be
better
easy.
They're better than the Jays right now, and
they had a better week than the Jays.
Yeah.
Right.
You look at their scores lately, 14-something and 10-something.
All it is that they all had a better week than the Blue Jays. And you know what? If you bear that in mind, it makes you see things a lot more clearly, I think.
Yeah, well, what happens when you get a bat like the Sheriff's back in the lineup and Jeter back in the lineup?
Then they'll be bolstered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to hurt. And if
we shall see.
If they're holds together, which I don't know how they're doing it with smoke and mirrors. I mean, you've got a 42-year-old guy out there throwing balls and a 41-year-old guy out there throwing balls, and they're getting away with it.
John, you watched a lot of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So you should know what eight games means.
Not much.
Nothing.
Let's get into unless it's a World Series, and we'll talk about it. But
that's right.
If they're ahead in 120, the Jays have got a problem.
Yes. Yeah, I think you're right. But I also think there's no reason to believe the Yankees will be ahead of anybody or many people.
Well,
120 games into the season.
Let's see if their pitching staff holds together. They still got a couple of decent pitchers.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, they're not a terrible team. But they're not as good
they're
as they've
old.
Been.
They're very, very old.
They're not. Thank you, John. Appreciate the call. They're not as good as they've been, and they're not as good as most of the teams in the American League East. But Oakland wasn't as good as most of the teams in the American League West last year, and they won the division. So things happen. Things change. It is pouring right now in Detroit. So how about that? But that's just like our meteorologist engineer Tom Young told us it was going to. And then it was going to move off. And they believe that 3:30 will be the time at which we can start this game. 1 hour from, 58 minutes from now. But right now it's pouring here in Detroit. Ben Ennis is going to join us in about 15 minutes. And we'll take more of your phone calls up till then. Tremendous rain delay program so far. Blue Jays and Tigers here in Detroit, hopeful of getting some baseball in about an hour. Gary is in Oakville. Gary, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Hello, Gary.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I think they want me to hold on. I'm going to put you back on hold for a sec, Gary, because they want me to take a quick break, which is fine. I'm more than happy to do what they want me to do. So we will have Gary in Oakville when we return. It's raining in Detroit. It's a rain delay program on the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network. Welcome back to Comerica Park. It is the rain delay program. We are hoping to have Blue Jays baseball for you, and we think we probably will. The rains that were coming down awfully hard just 5 minutes ago have pretty much stopped. It is now, the heavy rains have stopped. It is still raining lightly here, and there's hope for a 3:30 p.m. Eastern start for this game, which is 54 minutes from right now. Taking your phone calls, 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We are going to talk to Ben Ennis, who is my co-host on the Blue Jays This Week podcast, or really I'm his co-host. And we'll let you know that the Blue Jays have indeed claimed Casper the Friendly Wells on waivers from the Seattle Mariners. It is official now. The Blue Jays just making the announcement. And they have designated Alex Burnett for assignment in order to make room. Burnett was a waiver claim by the Blue Jays late in spring training. Wells has played 3 years in the major leagues with the Mariners. Though as a part-time guy, never even played 100 games. And over those 3 years and 656 plate appearances, has hit .246 with a .752 OPS and hit 25 home runs. Off the top of my head, I seem to remember him being a lot better against lefties, and the numbers do bear that out. He's got a career .838 OPS against left-handed pitching and .675 against right-handed pitching. So maybe this is a better DH option against lefties than Rajay Davis, or maybe what this does is allow Adam Lind and Colby Rasmus both to take some games off against left-handed pitching and have both of them in the lineup. But again, we don't know if Casper Wells is going to join the 25-man roster or not. We will find out. And when we find out, we will let you know. But right now, we go back to Gary in Oakville, who we put on hold about 5 minutes ago. So apologize for that. Thanks for waiting, Gary.
No problem. Hello again, Mike.
Hello again.
I want a little bit of insight, if you can, on Comerica Park and
sure.
Comparison to other Major League Baseball stadiums. First, a real quick comment. Lind is big fan of Lind, and he's going to do just fine. And Reyes is the shining light of the Blue Jays, no question.
Yeah, he's been something else.
So my question is specifically about the steal of Kelly of Arecibia's should have been a home run.
Uh-huh.
When it happened live, I thought, how did his elbow not snap off? And then
yeah.
I saw the replay and the entire fence, and then that beautiful little yellow marshmallow on top gave way in such a way that it's obviously well thought out. And so my question really is, are there circumstances elsewhere in Major League Baseball where his arm would have snapped?
Where his arm would have come off on impact.
He didn't go up over.
No, you're right.
But he didn't even look back. He just went straight into it, and his arm.
Yeah, he hit the fence with his elbow, basically.
Yeah, if it had hit something that didn't give.
Right, it would have been a lot of trouble.
I just wondered, I just don't know all the baseball parks. I just
You know what, I haven't been to all of them either. I got to be honest with you, and this year I'll get to every one of them in the American League, which will be swell. But what I think for the most part, the lower walls, the ones that you can go over and steal home runs, the tops of all those lower walls are quite well padded. Wrigley's a brick wall, but you can't go up and over the fence at Wrigley to steal a home run because they have those little baskets there anyway. The right field in Boston, you can get up and over, but that's only hip height anyway, so you're not going to break your arm on that. Baltimore, I don't think you could get elbow high, but that's pretty well padded.
And Toronto's too high.
Toronto's too high to get your elbow up and over. Yeah, I think most of those, I would say, and I can't say all because I don't know for sure. I think that they're all very, very well padded.
Anyways, great play. And enjoyable.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for your help.
No problem. It was a great play. It's too bad for JPR and Sebia that it was a great play. Tony is in Toronto listening on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Tony, welcome to the Rain Delay program.
Hi, Mike. Thank you. I got a couple things I want to mention. One, I want to say something about Adam Lind. Why doesn't Gibbons just throw the guy out to let him play, even against left-handers? I know you don't want to put him against left-handers, but why not just throw out and give him a chance, see what he can do? Because there's other people that can hit left-handers that are left-hand hitters.
Yeah, but I think over the last 3 years, it's become pretty obvious that Adam Lind has had a really hard time with left-handed pitchers. So that's the see what he can do aspect of it. I think they've already seen what he can do, and they're not terribly impressed.
I see. Okay, the other one I mentioned is about Bonifacio. He seems to be weak at bat to me. I haven't seen him play much in the National League, but he just seems to be a bit lost up there. I know his average isn't too bad, but he seems just to be looking at the pitches and offs them up a lot. What do you think?
I think I would like a moratorium on the word lost when referring to batters at the plate, because I think it's the most overused and incorrectly used term that we have here on the Blue Jays Talk, the Rain Delay program, whatever it is. When guys are getting out, they're getting out. They're not doing well. But lost at the plate, I mean, you know, save that for the guy who's never hitting the ball hard, who's striking out all the time, who just seems like he doesn't have a clue up there. So let's save lost for that. Emilio Bonifacio does not look lost at the plate, or pardon me, is not lost at the plate. He's not hitting well, no question about that.
I guess it was the wrong word to use. You're right.
Yeah,
there.
But you're not the only
one. One more thing, if I let you go, is Brett Laurie. He seems to have a lot of trouble getting hurt. Is he guy just has bad luck, or he's been hurt a little bit now since he's been with the Jays, and he just seems to be running in injuries and he's missing a lot of valuable time for the Jays. Is it just the way he plays, or is this guy a bit of bad luck?
Well, I think the one injury last year when he dove into that camera bay that was 40 feet deep, that's the way he plays, and you can blame that injury on the way he plays. But I don't know that you can blame any of the other ones on it. He was hurt in 2011 when he was hit on the hand by a pitch, and his hand was broken. He was hurt later that year when a ground ball came up on him and broke the tip of his finger, or I think it was broken. I'm not 100% sure I remember that, but he hurt his finger. This ribcage strain came diving for a couple of balls in batting practice while warming up for the World Baseball Classic, so I don't really think that that has anything to do with, or it wasn't batting practice, it was during the game, actually, during one of the exhibition games before the WBC. So that doesn't have to do with the way he plays or anything like that. I think you can blame the camera bay and that for a little bit of over-aggressiveness, but that's the only injury you can blame that on.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. And as far as the fact that Emilio Bonifacio, the idea that he is a weak of bat, as you put it, he may well be. You know, he's a career 267 hitter with an on base of around 330, including the rough start to this year. He's not winning any Silver Sluggers by any means. So, yeah, he is the ninth hitter and belongs there in the lineup. And he's a guy who, when he gets on, can wreak havoc. But he's not someone that you would expect to come in and be one of the best hitters on this ball club. You know, and if you don't know, you should. There's this podcast that I do called The Blue Jays This Week. Ben Ennis and I host it, and it's on, let's say, sporadically. But we're going to try to get it to you on a weekly basis. We also do a video podcast, both of which can be found on sportsnet.ca. And Ben Ennis is here in Detroit.
Can you believe it?
How lucky is Motown to have you?
I don't know about that. I'm lucky to see this ballpark. I mean, it kind of stinks that it doesn't have a roof at this particular moment, but it's just such a spectacular ballpark.
It really is nice.
It's only my second time ever being here, yeah. But I love the statues in the outfield, like everything, just the aesthetic view of this ballpark from the outside looking in. It's great.
Love it. Do you dig the cars in center field too?
Yeah.
On the Chevrolet fountain.
It's not one of the first things that comes to mind, but I guess
it's neat.
I guess.
No, this is a really beautiful ballpark.
It really is.
The scoreboard's phenomenal, and with the tiger sign, and all these tigers, all the little tiger statues all over the place.
Did you know they actually serve tiger meat out there in the restaurant, right field?
Did you know that in Lakeland, in the Detroit Tigers' spring training home of Lakeland, Florida, one of the concession offerings is a panda burger?
Is that true?
I don't know if it's really panda.
I'm going to say probably not. Aren't they an endangered species?
Well, maybe not in Central Florida.
Okay.
If you're hungry. It is raining again, by the way, and it just got, in the last 10 minutes, just got really dark.
No, I looked at a radar just moments ago, and I'm no meteorologist. Although, I mean, I've taken some meteorology classes because I do have my pilot's license. So I'm speaking from a little bit more of a position of insight on weather.
So you're telling us that you know more than Jack Morris does about reading
weather. I would never say that.
All right.
But, I mean, it looked like there is a little gap there, and it looks like maybe this thing's going to go north. That's my expert opinion.
And you, I mean, they're hoping. But, I mean, I'm not enamored with how dark it just
got. Well, yesterday they said it was a 95% chance of precipitation. And that was a beautiful day. I think two drops of rain I felt on my back. But
they got the whole game in.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if you need to get a game in, if you need to get five official innings in 40 minutes, Mark Burley.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know what is weird, though, is that this is the only time that the Jays are here this season.
The new deal.
I know. I don't like it one bit.
Thank you very much. Interleague play, Houston Astros in the American League.
Yeah, it's not the fact that they're playing interleague every day
one
that
visit.
Does it.
It's one visit.
The extra team in the American League.
One visit outside your division every year. That's it.
Yeah, I don't like that one bit.
And this kind of thing really messes with you because, you know, today is pretty bad, but tomorrow is going to be worse.
That's the thing. And
that's the last time they're going to be in Detroit this year.
Yeah, it's a shame. But getting back to this ballpark.
But wait, before we do.
Okay, sorry. I guess it's your show.
Casper Wells claimed on waivers by the Blue Jays, will join the Blue Jays in Kansas City. So he's going to be added to the 25-man roster in Kansas City. We'll find out, I'm assuming, after tomorrow's game who's going down.
That's interesting.
My money's on Edgar Gonzalez.
Yeah. So, I mean, we hardly knew ye.
Yeah.
That was quick. A lot of roster shuffling early in the season. How do you figure he meshes in there? Is he going to play against lefties?
I would think so.
Really?
I would think that...
platoon?
Yeah. I mean... He's more of a power bat than Rajay is, more fits that DH profile.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want, this way you can have Rasmus and Lind both sitting against lefties and have Wells and Davis in there.
You think that's what it's Colby Rasmus is as seen as last lefty starting pitcher. Really?
Like ever, I don't think. But I think
we saw him take a seat against John Lester, who is a tough lefty.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's maybe not something...
Maybe Wells is just a bat off the bench.
Yeah. It's very interesting that they would pull the plug on Colby Rasmus against lefties entirely at this point. But I guess if that's what they're going to go with, if you're going to put him on the 25-man roster, you got to use him, right?
Right. You would think,
or yeah, and so I guess then they'll be back down to that 7-man bullpen as well.
Which is phenomenal.
Yes.
And it extends the bench, which, you know, doesn't hurt either. And by the way, if you want to follow Casper Wells, a Schenectady native, on Twitter, he is at Upstate Baller.
Mm.
So we'll keep an eye out for that.
That's interesting.
At Upstate Baller. But this is a power bat against lefties, and I mean, he kind of fits in with your DH-ness.
Yeah, and a great name as well, I mean, which to me is important.
Casper the Friendly Wells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But getting back to this ballpark, I was saying, beautiful. Obviously, not having a roof is a problem.
There's a roof across the street at Ford Field, by the way.
I am aware of that.
Yeah.
But there's so many things. I mean, obviously, to tear down Rogers Center and to build a new ballpark is not feasible. Not something that's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
And they've done a great job of changing that ballpark and the additions and the concessions. But I haven't been this year, but I plan on going next homestand. But...
They took the windows out. You
know? I did. I heard about that.
Making the ball fly right out of the ballpark.
I don't understand that with the roof closed. People are saying that. But what about statues? Like, don't you think a Tom Cheek statue, a Roberto Alomar statue, maybe outside the ballpark, inside the ballpark, something like that? Like they have here in the outfield at Comerica Park. I think that would be a great idea. Yeah. I feel
there's an Ernie Harwell statue here, right behind home plate.
Yeah, and obviously you can't compare the histories of the two ball clubs. It's just so much.
Yeah, but the Blue Jays, you're right, have history too.
Certainly. A couple of World Series and a guy in the Hall of Fame as a Blue Jay. Why not? Why not build a statue? And like I said, outside, inside, maybe even like a Blue Jays Hall of Fame type thing. Where you can,
I've been an advocate of that for a long time.
Even in the concourse here, you go walking. They've got the decades, different photos of the different Tigers ball clubs throughout the years. It's really great to see that from such a historic ball club. And like I said, Blue Jays don't have the type of history that the Detroit Tigers do, but they do. They have a history, and they're starting. You know, we're seeing generations now where people are growing up, and 20-year-old kids have never seen this team win a World Series, so it is kind of history for them.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see
I'm with you, Hall of Famer 100%. So that's what you get from this, is the thing that stood out to you the most from this ballpark is the fact that the Tigers' history is alive in here?
Yeah, and I just love the aesthetic beauty of it as well, because it's a lot like, have you seen Petco Park in San Diego? Where it's kind of
in the middle of the
city. You're just walking down the street and there it is.
Yeah.
Right, you know, it's not out of the way. It's actually right in the city here, and it's just kind of integrated. Petco is actually, I mean, part of the buildings are the foul pools,
which is crazy.
Right?
I was driving around San Diego, three blocks away from the ballpark, and couldn't see the ballpark.
Yeah.
It's that much dropped in the heart of the city, and this is too.
I don't want to seem like a Rogers Center basher because it has its moments, and certainly when the roof is open in the summertime and you've got a good crowd, it's a great place to see a ball game, and hopefully in 3 or so years we'll actually have real grass in there as well, which would be tremendous. But it kind of seems like it was built just at the wrong time, like 10 years later that Camden Yard
3 years later.
Yeah, 3 years later.
Yeah.
it might have been one of those new classic ballparks where they went back to this style, And just, I mean, there's so many like this one.
It's too bad, too, because at the time, in 1989, I mean, it was, people were saying it was one of the eight wonders of the world.
Yeah.
And how wonderful a place it was. And the bloom came off of it so quickly as soon as Camden Yards opened.
We would
opened.
Be playing baseball right now if we were there.
That's the thing. We'd be done.
I can't believe they built a ballpark in Minnesota without a roof as well. It's pretty crazy.
Don't get me started on that.
And Detroit as well.
At least without without bug repellent. 6 to 10 inches of snow tomorrow in Minnesota, says Jack Moore. Tonight.
Ridiculous.
That is awesome. Where are the Twins? The Twins are in Kansas City,
You can. We've seen some of these newer style ballparks built with retractable roofs that don't look like domes, that aren't...
Safeco.
Yeah, Safeco. Yep. Even in Houston, I've been to that ballpark. It's nice with the roof closed as well. Arizona.
Yep.
Lots of them. You could do it, but...
Milwaukee, nice with the roof closed.
It's nice to daydream about the possibility of some sort of stadium on the water in Toronto where you could, like, hit home runs to right field into Lake Ontario. Something that would never happen, I suppose.
That would be awesome, though.
I mean, it would be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just come to a ballpark like this and you realize that it is just... It's a different feel. And maybe part of that is real grass. I'm sure Rogers Center will have a different feel. When it looks like it's going to happen.
Roof open, real grass.
Real grass.
Yeah, it'll definitely have a different feel. By the way, just to halt the Rogers Center bashing for just a second.
I said it wasn't bashing.
This is Ben Ennis. We are co-hosts of the Blue Jays this week that we recorded one on Monday. You can find it on iTunes.
Yes, you can.
Sportsnet.ca.
We tweeted out the link as well. Yeah. And
you can follow at Jays This Week and tweet the link is there too. Mal Romanen from the Blue Jays Communications Office let us know that Brett Laurie will play in an extended spring game tomorrow.
That's good.
Fantastic news.
Really good.
Yep. Fantastic news.
Just extends the lineup so much more. When
and
he's
how much do they miss him
defensively?
In the field?
Really. I remember when there was talk that he might not be able to play third base defensively.
Right.
His glove would not play. I think that was completely eradicated last year with the way he played. Yeah, and it's not just the errors. It's, when Mark DeRosa's there, he's not the Mark DeRosa of a couple of years ago.
And it's not even that. It's Jose Reyes.
Mm-hmm.
Jose Reyes doesn't need to have as much range to his right.
Absolutely.
When Brett Laurie's in the lineup.
Yeah, and it just extends the lineup a little further. But that certainly, it's been one of the issues. It hasn't been the issue for this team. The five hitters in this lineup has been the issue for the most part, and just their inability and, well, Jose Bautista's non-existence in
right.
the lineup
for three
a couple
days.
Of games
yep.
Before this. But, yeah, Edwin Encarnacion hitting, he's doing the bingo calling 079 or whatever he's hitting
074,
right now.
074, yeah.
It's not ideal.
0 for 18.
But, when he gets back in the lineup, obviously doesn't quite make the bottom three of the lineup, the black hole that, yeah, it has been on occasion this season.
Yeah, and this lineup should be really long when everybody's healthy
you would
and
think.
Everybody's going well.
And you know what? A lot of people, some of the guys I'm with today, one of them, a little bit of a Chicken Little when it comes to this team.
But I mean, it was one of the best synth pop artists of the 1980s.
Thomas Dolby?
Yeah.
Yeah. Talking about poor starts, and obviously it's not going to sink this team. A 2-20 month of April would be bad.
Yeah.
But we're only seven games in. But going back to the number of good starts this team has had and just fallen off, wouldn't you rather have it this way? I mean, it's no guarantee that they come back and play.
That's the thing. If people had that guarantee,
obviously,
that even though they're 2-5 and they may start the year 3-7, whatever,
but I can,
that they'd come back and be a half game up or a half game out on September 10th, then I think everyone would be fine with it.
But I recall, what was that, 2 years ago, the Blue Jays were
27-14?
And they went to Boston, so much attention surrounding them, get swept, lose 9 straight.
Yeah, that was more than 2 years. That was probably 4 years
was
ago.
Was it? Feels like 2 years.
It was a long time ago. They lost 9 in a row.
Mm-hmm.
The last one, I don't remember. They're coming to take the tarp off the field.
It's kind of exciting.
Yeah, and that just took all the wind out of everybody's sails.
Yep.
And I think that's why, that's one of the reasons why. I mean, I remember doing Blue Jays talks that April,
mm-hmm.
and people were saying, why won't you just say that they're going to win the World Series?
Yes.
And you know, trying
wasn't
to...
That was the year I think they played maybe one series against the American League East heading into that series in Boston as well.
Well, that be tough. 40 games? I don't know about that.
I believe it was. It's something they played an extremely low amount of games against the American League East.
And but that's the thing. Like when you try to objectively assess the chances of a team to do well or not do well at the end of spring, that's based on pretty much you know, what you think they're going to do is not based on those emotional highs and lows of a couple of games. And when a team that's really not supposed to do anything starts 27-14, like the Orioles started 27-14 last year too, you expect them to fall off the table. They didn't.
I didn't see what happened yesterday, but last I checked, the Orioles as well this season 0-3 in one run ball games.
No, really?
Yeah. So, which is kind of exciting.
That is awesome. The Orioles yesterday didn't play; they were off.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yes, so that's interesting with their ridiculous record in one run ball games and extra inning ball games last year. But the Blue Jays and expectations. It's just. It's obviously a shame, but you'd almost rather lose the way that they're losing right now, where nothing is going right, seemingly. The bullpen's been fairly good, but one good start from Brandon Morrow. Would you rather it start this way and as poorly as it has, or would you rather be the Angels right now, who have leads and are blowing leads late in ball games and fans are kind of having their hearts ripped out that way? I mean, if you're going to lose a game, you'd almost rather everything go wrong. And then, I don't know, maybe hope that everything goes right in the coming days.
There's no way to look good at 2-5.
No. And that's
there's no team that says, yeah, you know what, they're 2-5, but at least they're playing well. Nobody says that.
No.
Because you can't.
No. Yeah, and everybody looks like they're, I guess, not trying, or their heart's not into it when you're hitting.
They look flat.
Yeah,
you look flat. If you're hitting 120, you're going to look flat, even if you're hitting rope gappers that are being made beautiful catches of every time, and it really is too bad. But like I said in my column on Sportsnet590.ca, which you read, I'm sure, last night, and Sportsnet.ca. All right, I won't wait for you. I know you.
I definitely did not read. Go ahead.
Why can't it? You know, why does it always? It feels like it always has to be this way. It feels like I always have to talk people down off the ledge because
isn't that the nature of sports fans?
Why can't they ever start 8-2 when they're supposed to have a good team?
Yeah. But they have had good starts. We just talked about
when they're supposed to have.
Yes,
a good
when
team.
Expectations are high.
Those cheers you hear, by the way, tarp coming off the field here in Detroit.
Yeah,
we see the water that it's leaving in its wake there in the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like we're going to have baseball here. Oh, hey, what? Yep. 3:35 Eastern time is the estimated first pitch of this game.
And it still looks, I mean, it's very dark here and very gloomy and overcast. But like I said, Mike, I'm not a meteorologist. I play one on the radio. I think this thing is going to slide a little further north, maybe get a couple sprinkles in there. I think they're going to get a good 3-hour window here and play some baseball. And Mark Burley only needs an hour
40.
And 40 minutes.
Right.
Exactly.
Exactly. So now what do you, Tom Young showing you the radar? What
yes.
did you just see right there?
Exactly what I just said.
Okay, perfect.
Big gap.
I think of all the acquisitions made in the offseason.
Yeah.
The one from whom, and I don't say this maliciously, I don't say this to say he's not going to be good, the one from whom I expect the least is Mark Burley. But
yes.
what I expect from him is 200 innings, and I expect him to be solid
he's have
and
his
keep
blow
the team
up outings.
In games.
Everybody is, but...
He's in my mind, he's the fifth starter.
Yes. Oh, no question. Certainly I'd still say, yeah, the guy with the least amount of stuff out of the starting five. On this team, but a guy that knows the American League Central pretty well, you would think, and this ballpark pretty well.
This, I think, is going to be his 94th start against the Detroit Tigers.
So, yeah, pretty comfortable with this ballpark is Mark Burley, I would think. And somebody that you would think, even when it's not going well and he is getting hit, he can get through seven innings, and if the offense can back him up, that's a great thing. When this offense is going, you're not going to need to shut down the other team.
Nope.
To one or two runs over seven innings, you would think, for the most part.
Look at those puddles in the outfield.
Yeah. They got the squeegees up.
They took the tarp off and they...
I got to say, this is an odd situation where I'm standing with... you're talking about the field. I'm talking about how I'm standing with the Bob Barker microphone while you're sitting.
That is far from a Bob Barker microphone. You can sit down.
Okay.
Jack left. Just don't disturb Jerry's... all right.
I won't.
Have a seat.
Thank
Enjoy.
You. This is much better.
And you've got the headset there, so you could even put it on if, and we could take a couple of calls. You want to answer a couple of calls?
Really? All right, sure.
We have people who've been hanging on the line waiting. This is the Rain Delay Program. That's Ben Ennis, who's my co-host on the Blue Jays this week. Can you hear me in there?
Yeah.
All right. Now you got to turn the microphone on, yeah?
No.
Yes, there we go.
There he is. We don't want people to stay on the line and not get a chance to talk to us.
No,
we most certainly do not.
We want to talk to them.
This game is going to start in 31 minutes. The rain is being squeegeed in short right field, which is kind of cool. I mean, I guess there's a pretty phenomenal drainage system because left field and center field are bone dry, it looks like. It is not raining anymore, and according to meteorologist Ben Ennis and Tom Young, there is a window that they'll be able to get a ball game in. But we've got some people on hold, so let's get back to it. Tony in London is listening on 1290 CJBK. Welcome to the Rain Delay Program, Tony.
Hello, Mike. Hello, Ben.
Hey, hello.
The one thing about this start, of course, I'd be more concerned if it was at the portion of the schedule where the Blue Jays have traditionally had the worst results, and that's against Tampa Bay, where last year they were 4-14, and the interleague games. And that all starts up in May, where there's a home and road with Tampa Bay, and then there's a stretch of, I think, 11 interleague games beginning at the end of May into early June. And that's the team. I want to see how that team plays against that competition.
Let's pull out our handy dandy schedule. They do have four at Tampa from May 6th to 9th, and then the Rays come to Toronto May 20th to 22nd, and then on May 27th, the Blue Jays begin a run of 11. 9 straight interleague games.
I think it's 11, Mike. That's right. You're 9, but there's two earlier against in May.
San Francisco.
The Giants.
Yeah, in the middle of May. Yeah. They play 11 interleague games between May 14th and June 5th.
And that's 11 out of the 20 interleague games, plus you got 19 games against Tampa Bay, 19 and 20. That's 39. That's a quarter of your schedule against traditionally the competition that the Blue Jays in the past, I don't know how long, for it seems like forever since interleague.
Forever. It does seem like forever. You're right.
Yeah, that's the
interleague especially.
I don't get it. And here's the thing. I mean, you know, my initial feeling is to answer by saying, well, this is a different group and it has nothing to do with all those teams in the past. But there have been a myriad of different groups.
Yes.
None of whom can win.
Which makes no sense, you would think.
None whatsoever.
You know what always it tends to happen, well, with most teams, but especially this team, is they're playing some pretty good baseball. That West Coast road trip as well, it usually trips up this team substantially. Through Oakland, through Seattle, through Anaheim as well. I don't know when that is. It's usually right before the All-Star break. I haven't looked at the schedule for this season.
Well, they have an extra one because they have San Francisco and San Diego right in the bulk of that interleague run that Tony was talking about. And they are, let's see, when's the big West Coast trip? End of July, Oakland, LA, Seattle. 10 games.
Yeah, so that's always a tough one. But that's a tough one for
most
East Coast.
But they'll just play 4 against Houston, so they're going to be 6-1 in those 4 games.
Yeah, except Houston put up, what, 20 runs yesterday?
16 runs yesterday. Yeah.
But Brett Wallace was 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts in that.
Allison Footer of MLB.com was here at one of our guests on the Rain Delay program. She used to cover the Astros. She thinks that that they have an opportunity to be historically awful.
Really?
I think it's hard to do that. I really think it's hard to lose 120 games.
Yeah.
But they seem to be that they might be giving it their best shot this year.
Yeah, Brett Wallace, it really seems like he might not be a major league caliber offensive player. And certainly everything we heard, and I got to say, I haven't watched him a ton, but is that he's not, his defense is
below average.
Third. I mean, the Blue Jays were
he's playing
absolutely
first base.
Right to take him off third immediately.
Yes.
But he won't play first base for long either with Carlos Pena there.
Yeah, and like I said, they scored 16 runs yesterday. He was 0 for 4 with 4 strikeouts. It's tough.
Someone's got to do that.
It's tough to do. Yeah, that's not a great team. I think it's pretty safe to say.
So,
Bud Norris might be the next guy out of there as well.
Yeah, which is crazy too. But so what, you know, other than saying this is a different group, so I'm not worried about interleague for them. I'm not worried about interleague for them.
I guess.
But I've never been, and they always go 9-9 or 10-8 or 8-10.
And it's everybody else in the American League just mops the floor with the National League. That's what makes so little sense about it, is they go out there. They're supposed to show their offensive might. I do think, though, in recent years that the National League has gotten closer to the American League as far
there
as...
There are still only two teams... in the American League that have a losing record in interleague play.
Yes.
And the Blue Jays are one of them.
I know. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is
but
crazy.
But like I said, I think that the gap is narrowing. I think the National
League... Okay, then what about Tampa Bay? I you know what?
Yeah,
Jeff Blair says
one.
You got to be able to beat the Rays, and he's right. I am really looking forward to the first time they win a road series in Tampa, because it's been 5 years.
That is crazy, too. And a lot of that has to do with the Rays' great pitching, right?
Yeah.
And,
but no, it does... But not for, you know, 30
you can't get great,
straight
yeah.
series or whatever. You can't get great pitching that often that much.
And maybe it just takes that one game or that one series to break it, and then it just goes in the other direction. Not to bring hockey into the equation, because we're Canadians. We have to talk about hockey all the time. Maple Leafs finally did it against the Boston Bruins, and then it seemed like it really the things started to shift momentum-wise. From that perspective, the one game, they get close, they lose 1-0, they win one, they start looking like a more confident team against that team. And I it shouldn't be that way, especially with guys with no history of knowing that.
Yep. Half this team wasn't here last year.
It almost makes you think that something weird's happening. Do you believe in the baseball gods, Mike?
No.
I know. You're a pragmatic guy, aren't you?
Yeah.
I like to be, but I like to throw a little bit of that in as well.
Do you?
Yeah. I believe in the baseball gods a little bit.
Well,
I don't know about...
There's got to be something, because even, you know, when the Blue Jays were at their peak, they still couldn't beat the Brewers.
Yep.
And every year, no matter who was here, no matter who was there, no matter how good they are, no matter how bad they are, couldn't beat the Brewers.
Yeah, and maybe the Rays are just that club for this team. Although
Wouldn't it be nice if it was a team that they only play 6 times a year, though?
Instead of 18?
19.
That's not good. I got to say, though, the Red Sox impressed me. I think they're going to be a better club than people anticipated this
year. I don't
year.
Make predictions, but if I did,
mm-hmm.
I would have picked them to finish second.
Really?
In the division, yes.
Behind the Blue Jays.
Yes.
Yeah, they're a much better club. I still don't believe in the Yankees. Obviously, health has a lot to do with, although they're back to .500 right now.
Yep, they've won 3 in a row.
Yep, so, the starting pitching, they have some pretty good starting pitching, but I don't believe in that offense. I don't think Vernon Wells is going to continue to hit .380. Francisco Cervelli as well.
Yeah. No.
So I don't believe in them, but the Red Sox, the more I think about it...
The problem with the Red Sox over the winter...
Great bullpen.
...is that they gave a few players much more money than they should have given them.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that they're not good players.
Absolutely.
And that they're going to be all right, I think.
And John Lester's having a bounce back, it looks like.
And John Lackey's on the DL now, which can only help them.
Yeah. What is the final diagnosis on that?
I think it's bicep strain.
Yeah, it looked really bad, but...
It really did.
Yeah, apparently he might return.
One of the Boston... We had some fun with the Boston writers over the weekend because they were being really... they're taking some shots at Blue Jays fans. And the Boston media has been interesting since John Farrell has come over. But one of the Boston writers tweeted or wrote in his article, John Lackey threw what might have been the last pitch of his career. So let's just calm down a notch.
That's a little bit of hyperbole.
Let's take another phone call. You were good at that first one. It's almost like you've done it before. Elrod is in Barrie. Elrod?
Mike.
Hello.
A pleasure to be on with you both.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you. Double the wisdom for the same low, low price. listen, the thing is, I like John Gibbons a lot. Seriously, you'll never meet a nicer guy, wonderful guy. But I can't for the life of me figure why he keeps on running Asturias out there at third base.
Because he's the best option they have.
No, we have a great backup third baseman in DeRosa. He hit the lights out last year in the same kind of position.
No, he didn't. Well, yeah. Who are you thinking of? Because you're not thinking of Mark DeRosa. He didn't hit any lights out anywhere.
No, didn't he sub it for the Nationals third base at the beginning of last year?
Yeah, and he hit like 190.
Not when he was subbing. He hit better than that to start. But anyway, that aside, Esturs is a utility infielder. He's not a third baseman, and he's not hitting well. And surely a bit of probability in the switch hitting doesn't make up for the defensive liability. No?
He's a better defensive third baseman than Mark DeRosa at this point.
I don't believe that, Mike.
I know.
No,
it's hard to believe.
He can move a little more.
Yeah, he's got
his
throws across. Yeah, the throws across
the
diamond. DeRosa's
got a much better arm.
Exactly.
Esturs has much better range.
That's a defensive liability, man.
Well, except that, if he gets to a ball and throws it away and Mark DeRosa doesn't get to that ball, what's the difference?
Well, first of all, you're not getting an error, and the guy's on first instead of second. That's the first difference.
No, if DeRosa doesn't get to the ball, he's probably on second.
Reyes has a huge range, so Reyes can make up for any small range.
Reyes does not have a huge range.
So you really
he does. Reyes doesn't have. Reyes does not have great range. He doesn't.
Okay, but you don't think our backup third baseman is a better option than a guy that's not hitting?
Well, I would like to see DeRosa get some swings, for sure.
And
he hit the ball so well in spring training. But to say that he's a great hitter or that he was... in Washington, he had 85 at-bats last year, and he hit 188.
I'm not saying he was a great hitter. I thought he started off well with the Nationals last year, but I still think he's better than DeRosa defensively. And if neither of them are hitting well, why not have the better defensive option?
Range because the better defensive option is Esturs. I know you don't want to hear it. I know you don't want to hear it, but it's true.
I just don't think
it's true. It is. I'm sorry.
No. Yeah, I can think of a couple of doubles that wouldn't have been hits with Brett Laurie at third base that Mark DeRosa just couldn't get to. And that's not, it's not his fault. He is who he is. He's supposed to be a bench player and a guy that can come off and maybe hit against lefties. And it is a platoon. He is getting the start at third against lefties and Esturis against the righties. But
It's just, that's the thing. He's just, Mark DeRosa's a wonderful guy. And maybe he's got his bat back now. He had a great spring, and he said he's feeling better than he has since they screwed up the wrist surgery 3.5 years ago. But if you're talking about the defensive option, I'm sorry. Meister Esturis is a better defender.
You admitted that he doesn't have the arm. So defense is two sides. It's both fielding and throwing. And if you're going to throw the ball away,
but Elrod, if you can't get to the ball... It doesn't matter how good your arm is.
I present to you that not getting to the ball is less of a problem than a bad throw. Because if you don't get to the ball, it's a single. And if you throw the ball away, the guy's in scoring position.
I don't draw that same conclusion as you. Because if you're a third baseman and you don't get to a ball that's to your right, that's a double. And if you throw a ball away or if you bounce a ball or whatever... then it's not guaranteed to be two bases by any means. There's only been one time that a runner has gotten past first on an Esturis throwing error this
year. I think we can all agree that Brett Laurie is better than the both of them.
Yeah.
And hopefully, if he played in extended spring training today, what do you think, a week of that? Do they want to get him in spring games?
I think they want to get him close to...
Do they want to get him in minor league games?
50 at-bats.
That's a lot.
Yeah. I think that's what they want to do. That's why they're talking about the end of next week.
Wow. Okay, that's more than I anticipated. But
extended spring, he could get 7 at-bats, 8 at-bats a day for 3 or 4 days, and then, you truck him through the minor
leagues. Do they have fans for those extended spring training games?
Not really.
I don't understand them at all.
They're on the minor league complex, and they play. Elrod, thanks for the call. I will have to agree to disagree on this, but Bennis does wrap it up beautifully in saying that we can all agree that Brett Laurie is a better defensive option. And I don't want to sound like I'm trashing Mark DeRosa by any means. He just is. That's who he is. He does not have great range, and it's not nearly as good as Meister Esturis. Allison Footer, who was our pregame guest, is on the field right now, and she just presented Miguel Cabrera with his gibbies, and now she's taking a picture of Justin Verlander giving Miguel Cabrera another award, which these are beautiful crystal awards, and they're quite lovely, and Verlander looks very happy. And Miguel looks very happy, and congratulations. Are we going to have an argument now?
No. What do why you wanted to?
I don't.
I was
going to
say that it's a beautiful bobblehead they gave away today. Doesn't look anything like Miguel Cabrera, but beautiful nonetheless.
Are we going to get one?
I got one. I got one in my pocket right here, Mike.
Let's see it. But you got it because you were a fan.
Yeah, which was surprising. I did not come to the ballpark early today. It was like 12:30, and the first 10,000 fans got one, and I was one of those. But
that's awesome.
It's a mini bobblehead. It's not a full sized bobblehead, Mike. So it doesn't have the full bobbleheady goodness, but it looks nothing like Miguel Cabrera, I must say.
Have you seen the Chris Draper bobblehead?
The life-size one?
Yeah.
That is, it will haunt your dreams? Yeah, I saw that one.
Yeah, we bobbled its head
earlier yesterday. Its head actually bobbles?
Yeah, it does.
All right, that's frightening.
You got to try it. Now there's the mini Miguel. Hopefully they give it out in the press box. Usually they do.
Yeah.
That's very nice. You know, I saw a Jack Morris bobblehead when I was walking through the Tigers.
You have your own bobblehead as well.
I do, yes.
Okay, have you actually seen that? Because last time I talked to you, it shows up on the promos on TV every once in a while. But have you seen it? Does it exist?
Yes, there's one. There are two in different outfits. They exist. I've held them in my hand, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I have. It looks like me in 10 years, I think. So they must think I'm pretty old. No, I asked you if we were going to have an argument because...
Okay. About what?
Miguel Cabrera wins the Hitter of the Year Gibby Award.
Is that what it is? I've never heard of that.
Well, it's the Gibbies.
Huh?
MLB.com Gibby Awards, Greatness in Baseball Yearly Awards, voted on by media and fans and baseball officials. And I know a lot of people thought that if there was a hitter of the year in Major League Baseball last year, it was Mike Trout and not Miguel Cabrera. Or if there was a player of the year.
Well,
because you add defense
now,
in there too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
where do you
MVP
stand on
to me would be the situation where you could.
MVP and hitter of the year.
No, I understand that. And if you're going to make the argument for Mike Trout, wouldn't it be more the MVP, not just straight-up hitting? Because as a hitter, who scares you more? I mean, who's a better pure hitter? If you take defense and base running completely out of the equation, that tips the scales back to Miguel
Cabrera.
All right,
because he also just won the Gibby for MVP.
Okay. How can you win the Gibby? Okay, it's very confusing. Shouldn't the MVP always get the Gibby for MVP?
No.
I don't
understand. It's a whole
this.
Different voting system.
Okay. Who votes on it?
Fans, media, and others.
Okay.
You could have voted.
I was not aware of
MLB.com after the season's
awards
over.
Existence. So,
see?
Yeah. I couldn't have voted because I had no idea what it was. But yeah, if you take defense and base running completely out of the equation, I think Miguel Cabrera, I don't think there's nearly the argument that people had, especially in the sabermetric community, between Mike Trout and Miguel Cabrera last year. If you take defense and base running out of it...
Okay, so let's not take it out of it.
Okay.
MVP.
I give it to Mike Trout then.
Really?
Yes. Did you not see what he did on a daily basis with that? I mean, as a right-handed hitter last year, I'm going to say one of the best of all time, but how can you say Miguel Cabrera didn't have one? He won the Triple Crown, right?
Right. Exactly.
Right. And... But I just think what he added, the dimension of the speed and the dimension of defense, cannot be overlooked.
No, I don't think it can be overlooked either, but I still think Miguel Cabrera is the MVP. I also think we have to take a break. Tom Young is very upset with you and doesn't want you on the air anymore.
I can hardly blame him.
But they're putting the turfs down on the field.
That's great.
The tarps off. Players are out there running around, stretching, and all kinds of wonderful things. We will have baseball here in Detroit, and the first pitch scheduled for about 14 minutes from right now. Hopefully, we'll all get our Miguel Cabrera mini bobbleheads as well. Thank you, Bennis.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. Glad you were here in Detroit, and we could pull you away from Thomas Dolby and get you here on the air. And everybody out there, listen for our podcasts.
Yep.
And keep an eye out for the video podcast, too.
Yeah, we'll try and do another one on Monday.
Audio.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll try to do another audio one on Monday when the Blue Jays return from their week-long sojourn in Detroit and Kansas City.
Yeah, enjoy Kansas City. Have some barbecue.
I was on Jeff Blair's show today.
Yep.
He said I should be having barbecue for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I should have some on the nightstand.
Bring some home.
Just in case.
Bring some on
Monday.
You're
not allowed to bring meat home.
Can't
from the
you?
States. I don't think you're allowed to cross the border with meat.
Maybe not.
No. I'll try. I'll see what I can do.
Thanks, pal.
All right. That's Ben Ennis, co-host of the Blue Jays This Week, audio and video podcast. This is the Rain Delay Program, even though it just sounded like the Blue Jays This Week for the last 40 minutes. It is the Home Hardware Blue Jays Radio Network.